Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Rain Marine Electronics.
We're still trying to work Jess Pryle's contact info up here, but meanwhile, log on to HardcoreCarnivore.com or go check out her YouTube channel, and we'll get her in a minute. But the cool thing about her is she's one of Browning's pro staffs, right? And we all work with Browning as well. And her whole thing is, I mean, she's hunting it, she's cooking it, she's preparing
it. She's killing it, cooking it. I mean, it's and we're watching one of her videos right now. I was on this thing last night before I went to bed. I got plans for tomorrow, some cool stuff. She's got this scotch egg, which a normal scotch egg is deep fried. This thing is, you know, you take your sausage, you put a soft boiled egg inside of it. You wrap it in sausage. You put it on the smoker, and then you baste it with, like, you know, whatever type of sauce you want. Barbecue sauce. You can make your own sauce. The thing is killer. When you cut it open, it's got a runny, you know, soft boiled egg in the middle of it. It looks just ridiculous. Look at that.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. We're always looking for popper recipes too. She's got a popper recipe with peaches in the cream cheese. And a little bit of spice in there, a little bit of heat in there. Just amazing. Look, sounds like
I think
Jess.
She's on the line now. Jess, do we have you here on the line?
Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jess. Morning. Hey, you must have been out putting some more wood chips in the smoker there, but glad we got you.
You know what? That's literally what was happening.
How you doing?
How dare you cook during
Austin,
a cooking
Texas
segment.
Thanks for joining us, Jess.
That's
we were
doing
just
great.
We were just talking about your great YouTube channel and all your great recipes. You know, the peaches and the cream cheese in the popper is just amazing. And then you have a stuffed backstrap recipe too on there. Just out of control. I was telling the wife last night, I was like, you got to come over here and check this out. Just amazing. But anyway, thanks for jumping on. You are the in-house chef at Browning. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your website, Hardcore Carnivore, and everything you got going on down there in Austin, Texas, Jess.
Sure. Well, everyone's probably going to wonder why I speak funny, but I'm originally from Australia, but, you know, I got here as fast as I could to Texas. And I am a live fire cook and meat expert. And I basically teach other people what I learned myself. I'm not a trained chef. I just really was sick of not knowing how to cook meat properly and kind of being intimidated by cooking steak at home. And that set me off on like a decade-long journey of figuring out how to do it, sharing that info with other people and kind of showing that it's not that hard to be a great meat cook. And then on the way, founded a company called Hardcore Carnivore, and we have a line of seasonings and tools for serious meat enthusiasts. So I also started hunting when I moved to Texas, which is how I eventually came to connect with Browning. And it's been like the most incredible connector to being from being a meat eater to actually kind of coming full circle with that.
Yeah, I think you have to hunt when you move to Texas.
You're issued a firearm upon entry to the state.
What are some of your favorite critters to chase down there in Texas, Jess?
I actually pretty much just enjoy, like, my favorite is whitetail. I just really enjoy hunting whitetail. Mm-hmm. And what was really cool here was that I learned to hunt with a family who was, like, seventh generation Texan, and their family hunts to supplement food for their family. And, like, it's just what happens. And so I learned in a really special environment from people who've been doing it a really long time. And I still, every year, get invited back to hunt on this one ranch. So it's pretty special.
We're talking with Jess Pryles of the Hardcore Carnivore. She's with Browning as well this morning. Go check out her YouTube channel. It's you have just such a wide variety of stuff on here. I just find myself captivated by but tell me what is your favorite method of preparation? Like, lately, you know, the craze all across the country really are these pellet grills and whatnot. Given your druthers, what's your favorite preparation? What's your favorite type of meat to get on the grill or get on that smoker?
I don't think much beats a charcoal grill. Like, I have a pellet grill, too. I have one that was made here in Texas, and they're extremely convenient, especially for recipe testing. But, you know, the speed of a charcoal grill and the flavor you get off it is something pretty special. And I have to say, like, I am probably most partial to beef, just because fat is a real vehicle for flavor in meat. And obviously, as we know, wild game, it can be pretty lean, but that's what I think is kind of special about it. Like, I'll throw down a ribeye one night, but then, you know, enjoy a beautiful venison backstrap the next night. So I think there's kind of room to celebrate wild game and sort of more conventional meats as well.
Earlier in the show, Jess, I mentioned that popper recipe with the peaches in it. I had never thought of that in my wildest dream, but it looks amazing. Can you run our listeners through that really quick and how you put that whole thing together?
Well, here in Texas, we have a peach season out in Fredericksburg. And so it's really nice to be able to tie in a lot of the flavors that are kind of seasonal like that. So I had an idea in the same way as, you know, pork works really well with fruit flavors like peach and apple. And even when you're smoking or grilling, you can use that peach or pear or apple wood or cherry wood because it's going to give you that sweeter flavor. So the idea of putting peaches in the cream cheese and just that hint of sweetness before you put, and you can put a bunch of different game with it. You can do quail, or you could do dove, or you could even do little pieces of hog backstrap, honestly. And then, you know, what doesn't go wrapped in bacon, right? But the idea of putting that in there and just having that little sweetness, you still got a lot of the seasoning on there, so it's still nice and savory, worked really well.
Yeah, it looks incredible. Unbelievable.
No doubt. So Jess, what are some of the common mistakes you see folks doing when they kind of jump into a new culinary experiment? I mean, you get a lot of questions. You're talking to a lot of people, a lot of questions on your YouTube channel and your website. So what are some of the pitfalls that you see people continually dropping into?
The biggest mistakes I see with meat cooking is that either your fire isn't hot enough, which is what is going to give you that real lackluster, grade, sad steak instead of that really nice hard sear. And even in our homes, you know, our domestic stoves are nothing like a restaurant stove in terms of power and heat output. So often, you know, we're so scared to set the smoke detectors off and drive the dogs crazy that it's the same thing. We just don't get that pan hot enough, or we don't get that grill hot enough. And I like to say to people, you know, charcoal is cheaper than meat. So light more charcoal than you need, than you think you need. And the other thing is to invest in a really good meat thermometer, because instead of doing that old press test, a meat thermometer is going to accurately tell you when your meat is done to the doneness you want. So if you're a medium rare person on something like a venison backstrap or a steak or whatever, when it hits 135 on the thermometer, that's when you know that it's perfect. And it's really nice to take the guesswork out of it. And it's a really great way to get your confidence up, especially to buy, you know, a little more exotic stuff like a tomahawk that you might be a little intimidated by cooking because of the price. My pet peeve I have to share real quick is probably when people unnecessarily bacon wrap things, and I know this is really controversial.
Oh, now this is completely contradictory to the understanding I had coming into this interview. Okay? I didn't think we'd be denigrating bacon wrapped anything at this point. The rest of this interview will be done under protest.
I feel like when we bacon wrap fillets or bacon wrap backstrap, it's like a crutch, because then your venison tastes like bacon, not venison. You know, and
I agree. Tom has pushed himself away from the table.
That's it. I would bacon wrap bacon. In fact, I'm going to right after this interview, just despite you, Jeff Pryles, doggone it. So Jess, you had to have been, you know, hunting critters or at least cooking when you were in Australia. But how has your Texas hunting experience changed the challenges and what comes out of your particular kitchen?
So I actually didn't hunt in Australia because we have it's a much smaller percentage of the population that do it. Whereas, you know, here in Texas, like every second person is like, yeah, you're going out to the blind this weekend. So I hadn't hunted at all. And that changed everything for me. to have that full experience all the way through was, it's just, I think it's a responsibility of a meat eater, first of all, but I love it. I butcher all my own animals as well. Like, I've never dropped it off at a processor, which is pretty common here, but that's a part of it that I love as well, getting to turn it into exactly what I need that meat to be. So, like, am I going to grind it? Am I going to cut steak? Do I keep back shack whole? Do I want a chili grind this time? So that's a big fun part of it, too.
Yeah, and I want to direct people to your website, too, the hardcorecarnivore.com. You got a great line of spices and stuff. We've already got an order in for our place up here in Alaska, and I'm excited to get that stuff and give it a try. And also direct folks to your YouTube page. Is your YouTube channel, excuse me, is incredible. You got to jump on there and check out your videos. We had our mouths watering here last night. I think
smoked scotched eggs are going to happen. I'm pretty sure that's
I'm doing them tomorrow for sure.
She's Jess Bryles.
Really fun, and you can make them in advance.
Yeah. Oh, and that, you know what? And that is a great point, because when you can have something ready as soon as folks get there, kind of an appetizer type of deal, man, it kind of sets the tone for a complete and total meat pig out the rest of the afternoon. One of my favorite pastimes.
We got to let you go here, Jess, really quick, but you are a Browning Pro staffer and you do a bunch of hunting down there in Texas. What is your rifle of choice for taking those whitetail down there in Texas?
I am on the Browning Exalt Pro, and I have a 6.5 Creedmoor. So
perfect.
That will take anything I need down here, and I absolutely love it, especially how lightweight it is. Awesome.
Well, I'm going to go get the poppers in the smoker here shortly, and Nellie's going to go cook some bacon, and we're going to let you go to get going, whatever you've got going. And we appreciate the time, Jess. We'll definitely keep in touch. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jess. Weekend. Talk to you soon. All right. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN. See ya.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as the Sportsman Sports Center, is brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
Today is the much-awaited Link Cod opener in Puget Sound. Nick Kessler from All-Star Charters will be drifting live bait on Possession Bar today to get his guests into Link Cod. Possession is one of the top Link Cod producers in Puget Sound, and Nick drifts live bait on mooching rigs across the shallowest part of the bar to get his Link Cod. Sand dabs, bullheads, and pogies are all on the menu on Kessler's boat. The San Juan Islands and the Narrows near Tacoma are also popular Link Cod destinations. The season runs from May 1st through June 15th in Puget Sound, and Link Cod need to be between 26 and 36 inches to keep.
Head to the San Juans for Lings. Kevin John Holiday Sports in Burlington says folks have been stocking up the store all week on Link Cod gear for the opener today. Kevin says the tides are a little big this first week of the season. That make fishing live bait a little more tough. He really likes fishing jigs on big tides, and the new Lancer and Teaser jigs are some of his absolute favorites. Around slack, he'll drop a live greenling down, but the rest of the time the currents are going to be too strong to go with those live baits. Kevin says the most productive areas are south end of Lopez, the north end of Orcas, Sushia, Patos, and Matilla Islands. Basically, any steep, rocky structure in the Juans are going to hold lings. Be sure to have a Rockfish Center on board and be aware of the 120-foot depth restriction.
The heavy rains that hit western Washington for last week's trout opener kept many folks at home, which means there's still a pile of trout to catch this weekend. WDFW has planted tens of thousands of trout in the lowland lakes around the state just for the catching. To find a lake near you that's been planted with trout, simply visit the WDFW website and search the Catchable Trout Plant page, where it's easy to do a county-by-county search. The statewide trout derby is also underway, with just over 100 lakes planted with tagged trout around the state. Catch tagged trout, call the number on the tag, claim your prize. Participating businesses have donated over $38,000 in prizes for the Trout Derby this year. The statewide Trout Derby runs from opening day through October 31st.
Dave Johnson from Kitsap Marina in Port Orchard is reporting some nice halibut coming out of the eastern Strait of Juan de Fuca on this last opener. He's eagerly awaiting the halibut opener on the Washington coast this week. Also, it thinks the Westport area could be very productive. That's because the Yellow-Eye Closure area south of Westport will be open this year for bottom fishing. It's the first time in about 10 years it's been open, and Dave thinks the halibut fishing there will be excellent. He noted that the depth restriction will be lifted in marine areas 3 and 4 during the month of May, which is a huge bonus. Johnson will fish a herring, squid, or octopus for halibut, and we're on a big white grub off a 12-aught hook on the top of a shock leader to double up on those halibut. He says many times he'll catch two halibut at the same time on this rig. Marine areas 1 and 2 will be open Thursdays and Sundays. Marine areas 3 is 4, and 5 will be open on Thursdays and Saturdays until the quota has been reached.
Skagit River Springer opener on hold. Skagit River was proposed to open today for spring Chinook, but a permitting issue has the opener on hold for now. Kevin John Holiday Sports hopes WDFW can get that permit issued so the Lower River can be opened up. It was supposed to be open from the Memorial Bridge in Mount Vernon to Gilligan Creek for spring Chinook. Kevin said last year, folks had some good success plunking prawn spinners near Young's Bar in Mount Vernon. If and when that river opens up, that's where he'd head for a shot at a Skagit Springer.
Marine Area 13 in the South Sound also got caught up in the permitting issue and has been closed until a new permit can be issued. Because of the Endangered Species Act listing in Puget Sound, all marine fisheries need to have permit coverage to take place. Gabe Miller at SportGo Sporting Goods in Fife has been following the situation and is hopeful a permit can be issued by NOAA in the next couple of weeks. This time of year, a few springers usually show up in Marine Area 13, headed back to the Minter Hatchery on the Key Peninsula.
David Dietrich from Adventure Angling in Tacoma says the Sea Run cutthroat fishing is the best he's ever seen it in the South Sound right now. David said the fish just came out of the spawn, and they are seeing a lot of cutthroat on the beaches right now. The cutthroat are super aggressive. He's having his guests cast large attractor patterns in a variety of colors to get them to bite. Dietrich said they've been running into some resident coho here and there also, but he's mainly targeting Sea Run cutthroat right now because it's just been so good. David said the beaches in Carr Inlet, Case Inlet, and areas in the deep South Sound have been simply excellent for cutthroat. Their biggest cutthroat this last week was a 21-incher. They're catching them in the 17 to 19-inch range on a daily basis. We'll have David on the show right after the break to talk about the excellent cutthroat fishing that's going on in the South Sound right now.
Be sure to check out the spring anniversary sale at Sportco and Fife, an outdoor emporium in Seattle. It's running through this weekend. The two biggest outdoor retailers in Western Washington have a long list of sale items, from fishing gear, camping gear, gun safes, clothing, and footwear, all at prices that can't be beat, and the list goes on. If you know how hot the outdoor market is right now, you'll hurry in and pick up the gear you need right now before it's gone. That's a spring anniversary sale that runs from April 15th through May 2nd at Outdoor Emporium in downtown Seattle and Sportco in Fife.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
So on the line now to kind of give us a little guidance with regard to what's going on with the permitting issue is Region 4 Bio Edward Eliezer of the Mill Creek office. Good morning, Edward, and thanks for jumping on.
Morning, Edward.
Hey, Edward.
Morning, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
This is a really fun. This is a really fun topic to talk about. We know, but run us through what's going on here. You know, where are we with this permit issue, and kind of what kind of snafu did we run into to shut down the Skagit in Area 13, buddy? Run us through this whole program.
Sure. So each year at the end of North of Falcon, the tribes and the state come up with a list of agreed to fisheries, all packaged into one document. We call that document the loaf. So once we submit that to NOAA, they have a short amount of time to do their analysis that generates a biological opinion that permits these fisheries. And this year, due to the negotiations going long, the signed agreement was delayed, which in turn delayed the process for NOAA to get these permits finalized. As you guys most likely know, the major issues were Queets Coho, Nooksack, and this is the part that makes me cringe, is the Skagit Summer Falls and Springers. Just the Skagit Summer Falls is a population that's been pretty strong in the past, still at Guamish and also Snohomish. And so because this delay in the permit to reduce the litigation risks, we decided with the tribes and the Skagit, the Sauk Swaddle, the Upper Skagit, and Swinomish, not to fish together, as well as closing Marine Area 13 until we received the permits necessary from NOAA. What we're hearing from NOAA, we should be getting the permit in a matter of days. I think worst case scenario, early next week. But we're not talking about months or like long-term closures. And luckily, you know, these aren't linked to our halibut and our lingcod closures. And so there's really good news. Bad news is no one's fishing directly for salmon Marine Area 13, you know, or on the Skagit today. So that does suck. You know,
so
the situation last. Go ahead.
Good. No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of run through what we saw last year and what we're looking for next year, just kind of wrap it up. Sound
perfect.
Good? Yeah, so last year, you know, it's been a crazy year. I was looking at my notes. We closed recreational fisheries statewide because of the governor's order to stay home and stay healthy in response to COVID-19. So those are pretty dark times for at least me as a fisherman. And so when we reopened everything, it was on the 15th of last year, and so we got past this period of not having a permit. So next year, looking forward, knowing that, you know, this was right in front of us, when we submitted our fisheries package, we asked for coverage through May 14th, so we wouldn't have the same problem next season. So in the future, us and the tribes would like to get a long-term Chinook management plan that would make coverage from year to year unnecessary, but we're just not there yet. So, but those are kind of my thoughts about the permit issue, Tom.
Edward Leeser, Region 4 Bio, joining us briefly here this morning. Just one more clarification, if you wouldn't mind, Edward. When we had this permitting gap last time, I believe it was 2016, and so basically all the anadromous fisheries in the state at that time were closed down. So that did have an effect on a lot of other, you know, non-directed salmon fisheries. And so, like, for instance, our next guest, David Dietrich, his stock in trade is our South Sound cutthroat. So he is still able to fish some of those salmonids in Marine Area 13 despite the Chinook closure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
this is all about litigation risk and how much risk do we want to take. And, you know, we could go on the extreme end and close all piers and close all of our game fish fisheries and everything. Or, you know, we could just shut down directed salmon fisheries kind of like we did. And so taking the riskiest fisheries out of the equation and the low risk, kind of keeping it in there, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does. It does. Okay, so and basically then the Skagit area and Area 13 on hold, you anticipate this being a situation like the middle of next week, end of next week perhaps, we'll have some clarification, have a permit in hand, we'll be moving forward with all our fisheries.
It's good news.
Yep, that's the exact message we're getting from NOAA. So.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Edward. We appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on this morning in short notice, buddy.
Thank you, Edward.
Take care, man.
Thanks, Edward.
All right. Let's go to the Weldcraft Wheelhouse. Let's go back to that South Sound where all you can do right now is cutthroat fish. David Deep, that's okay.
David's living high on the hog because he's got the only game in town.
He has schools of cutthroat fighting to get to his flies. I'm going to tell you all about it next in the Weldcraft Duckworth Wheelhouse. You're in the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Well, David Dietrich, you're welcome. We just got off the phone with WDFW. We got your cutthroat opener in Marine Area 13.
How you doing, David? What's going on there this morning, brother?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm driving down to the boat launch right now. I'm excited. I'm going
to awesome. Yeah, I talked to you yesterday, man. It sounds like the cutthroat fishing has just been insane down there. You know, maybe all this conservation stuff that's been going on with those sea runs has been working because every year it seems like it gets better and better. I talked to you yesterday, and you were talking about schools of cutthroat following your flies back. Tell us what in the heck is going on in the South Sound right now. Some great news.
Yeah, the fishing is just – it makes me happy. You know, it's so good. Fishing is excellent. And there's this mystery. It's magic, actually. When you don't kill the fish, there's more fish. It's a special thing. And, yeah, man, we were fishing. I mean, I've been fishing almost every single day, but, like, one particular fish stood out to me last week, and it just kind of is an example of this spring. And we had a 13-inch cutthroat on, which is just, you know, it's just a nice little trout. But behind the fish, there were like another 100 cutthroat. Maybe 80 of them or so were little first few days in the salt. There were some big fish, some average size, medium. But there were at least 100 fish behind this one fish. It was just an insane amount, number of fish and just beautiful. And what's awesome is about a month ago, these three turkey vultures have moved into the South Sound and are just hammering on the cormorants. And the cormorants that used to be all over the cutthroat beaches are dead. And
yeah, well, Nelly trained those. Those are Nelly's pet turkey vultures. He let them go down there. That's Nelly's program.
He's got a hatchery
extremely handsome man.
Turkey vulture program he's working on.
Yeah, it's crazy. When I first saw it, I was like, is this real? But I've seen them actually pound on the cormorants myself. It's crazy.
Wait till you see the salmon sharks turn on the harbor seals here pretty quick. We're going to get that going, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful situation.
So with all those fish, schools of hundreds of cutthroat, can you just throw anything out there and get them, or are you having to – what are you running for flies? What's working for you?
So I'll tell you, sometimes it gets a little spooky because I'll share with you guys what we've been doing, and this is – it's pretty awesome. What I've been doing is throwing – situational patterns, and what I mean is it's springtime, so male and female come together in springtime. So what we've been doing is we have been throwing, like, for example, a really large being 3.5, maybe even 4 inches long, which for a trout pattern, that's pretty big, and maybe it'll be olive with like a fat golden belly to get their attention to represent a female. And then we'll throw a really small chartreuse pattern right behind it or right next to it to represent the male. And I'll have my customers put their flies right next to one another on the beach. I mean, I'll try to. And
this gives you a wonderful opportunity to yell at your dudes, though, David. This is your opportunity for some tough love, hard coaching, get them to cast together and land their flies in the same water. That's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep my expectations low so that no one's disappointed. But
okay, you know, so let's get back to that.
It does really work out. I mean, maybe I'm just kidding myself, but throwing those patterns together, it just gives the fish a situation that they're accustomed to seeing in the springtime.
Yeah,
and it seems like we get a lot more doubles that way, but maybe it's just.
Yeah, that's cool.
But let me tell you, it's some next level stuff. Other than that, though, you guys, you know what we're throwing is really goofy, big, colorful stuff. So the fish are
just to get their attention because there's plenty of fish.
You just got to get their attention around, and they're hungry. They're looking to recharge. We caught a fish yesterday out in the middle. Two days ago, out in the middle of the Sound. On Anderson Island, which there's no real creeks around Anderson Island, but this fish had obviously recently spawned, but it went from its spawning creek out to Anderson Island in no time. And this is a really healthy fish, already, you know, recovering but able to travel long distances. The fish are very healthy right now, but they're very eager to eat. So we just throw hamburgers. We're throwing big stuff. It doesn't look like anything natural or normal. It just gets their attention, and they eat it.
And just so our listeners know, you're casting up into a foot or two of water. You're casting right up in on the beach and then stripping back out to the boat. And most of the hits come just right and tight to the beach here. These things are in shallow, you know, in less than 6 feet of water. Feeding in there.
Right. Yeah.
And you're talking about some small fish, but you've had some big fish too here this last week. You had a 21 incher the other day and fishing that 17 to 19 inch range on a 5-weight. Those are amazing trout.
Yeah. And we get a lot of small fish because the fishery is healthy. You know, a healthy fishery, you want a variety of size, and any fish could be a 19 or 20 incher, and it could be a 10 incher. And that is exciting. But you know what's really totally awesome about it is that the water's really clear right now. So almost every fish we're hooking, we're like, okay, there's a fish. There's three of them. They're following it.
Yeah.
Strip.
Yeah.
Who's got it? You know.
That's the best part about that is watching those fish. And, you know, like you said, Rob, you're
all
casting
over the boat, losing my mind. It's crazy.
You're casting like into a foot or – when we fished with David, I think twice he praised my cast, and I almost put it on the rocks. Like, you want to be right on the edge and then stripping away, and then to see those little cuts shoot out and chase it. It is a hoot, man. It's a fun.
I didn't
fish.
Get many praises. He was praising my knots and my tangles around the antenna.
I only got two.
And I got one wrapped around my neck a couple times.
I'm just going to go back to the low expectation comment, and I think it's all going to come together, right? That makes sense.
I'm happy to set the bar. I'm happy to set the bar on your boat, brother. Trust me.
Set the bar low.
Hey, you know, If we set the bar low, everyone's a winner.
There we go.
How much longer is this going to go, David? How much longer is this great fishing going to go, man, before it kind of these fish spread out and it kind of starts to peter out?
Well, I mean, this is going to sound fake, but it never really peters out, honestly. Mm-hmm. The fish change location and they're less congregated. You know, alpha class fish will stick together. They kind of sort of separate themselves based on their class, kind of their behavioral class. But I would say fishing will be particularly easy through the end of May. And then in June, the fish, the tides are large enough that all the fish use them to get to where they're going to be. And funny enough, the coho down there, which are still down there right now, right around the end of May, they're big enough to really follow the schools of anchovies out into the deep water and really just chow on them. And the big cutthroat, I know this is dumb sounding, but they'll go out there with the coho. So after June, the game kind of changes, and I start looking a little bit deeper, kind of fishing the inside of kelp lines and that kind of thing. It changes. It doesn't get any better. You just have to adapt. It doesn't get any worse. You just have to adapt your game. But it's going to be real easy through the end of May.
He's David Dietrich of the non-existent website, adventure-angling.com, that we're hoping he'll eventually put on the website. But that's the plan anyway. Maybe. In the meantime,
you got some openings. You got some openings, dude?
Yeah. I have one really good tide left in May. It's May 20th. It'll be a nice outgoing tide. I mean, it's one of those days where it's like, this is a guarantee. And, I mean, it's that silly right now. I'm telling you.
Sometimes I scare myself. Give David a call, 253-282-4570. That's 253-282-4570. David, thanks for jumping on board. And, cheer up, will you?
Yeah. He's such a bum.
You're such a dead interview. I'm not a bummed all the time.
Go catch a fish today.
There we go.
See you, buddy.
Later.
Have a great weekend,
buddy.
Hey, I'll see you guys soon. Hurry up.
All right, David. Talk to you soon, man. All right, coming up next, the hottest report we've heard all week in the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really? Where?
He's coming back from the island of Tinian the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turned red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
Head over to Roy Robinson Chevrolet and you're going to find America's fastest growing full line brand, including the 2021 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab, $4,400 cash allowance at Roy Robinson Chevrolet, RoyRobinsonChevy.com.
Opening day of lingcod season today. I've already seen a couple of pictures out of the San Juan Islands. My buddy Tim Lennox has drug one out of the San Juan Islands this morning, despite the huge tides right now. So that's going on today. It's also opening day at the Shrimp Shack by Coronet Bay there. Ryan just texted me, said it is out of control up there. You don't have to wait till May 19th for the shrimp openers in Puget Sound. Head up to the Shrimp Shack. They got fresh shrimp today, opening day up there. Also, it's a do-over this weekend for the opener of trout season. Last weekend, it poured down rain all weekend, and a lot of folks just stayed home. But I think people are going to be out this weekend hitting the trout in Western Washington, all over the state for that matter. So you got a bit of a do-over here this weekend for all you trout fishermen out there. Get out and catch some trout. There's still a whole bunch left because they weren't caught last weekend. It just rained so dang hard. So do-over weekend for the trout opener. Cutty fishing, we just had David Dietrich on the horn from the South Sound. I mean, it is awesome down there right now. You can just hear how excited he is about it. He's excited all the time anyway. It doesn't take much to get David excited and positive and happy and having fun, but it is good. Talked to him yesterday down there, and he's like, dude, I've really never seen this before in all my years of guiding in the South Sound. So that's a great opportunity right there. We've got halibut openers and the Eastern Strait of Juan de Fuca, another one today. I think been Thursday through Saturday. Saw a picture of a 7-foot halibut. Somewhere in that Somewhere over 300 pounds.
250.
300 to 320 pounds, according to the chart anywhere. Just a giant halibut up there in that San Juan Island area. Coastal halibut seasons this week are opening, despite the
Thursday.
Weather. Yeah, hopefully folks can get out. I've seen, again, folks are already setting up camp and dragging their trailers out there and getting everything moved out to the coast. It's almost like elk camp. You know, folks are getting their stuff set up at CQ and Westport and all over around the coast there. But that's pretty exciting. Talked to David, or Dave Johnson down at Kitsap Marina. He was doing the same thing, moving his trailer out to CQ, getting ready for all the halibut stuff coming up. But
CQ
a lot of excitement
like the...
there.
CQ is like the fishing Klondike these days. It is absolutely a fish rush out there.
It's the halibut rush. The halibut rush.
It's the butt rush. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. They need you to get out to the coast. Well, I mean, you know, and Joey, you and I have been out there a couple times. It's you know, with the closure in Nia Bay, everybody's flocking to CQ, and it's not that far of a run.
It's cool.
It's not.
What a cool spot, man.
Dude,
and
it is.
Also, I got to thank all the boaters that signed up for Sam for Soldiers last
weekend.
Yeah,
no doubt, man.
50 boaters signed up last weekend to take veterans out for the big event in August. They still need more boaters. I think they're about halfway there. But they're definitely, Randy and Dobie and everybody over there are taking reservations, getting boaters signed up to take our veterans out for the big event in August. If you are a qualified boater, have a great boat, want to take some just super cool vets, and I promise you it'll be one of the coolest things you ever do. Get on SalmonForSoldiers.com and get signed up to take our vets out. Nobody deserves this more. In August, you'll have pinks, coho to catch. And I'm telling you, even if you don't catch anything, which is entirely possible, it is super cool. So get on to SanfordSoldiers.com, get a hold of Randy over there and get signed up for the event in August.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I loaded up my truck with all the fishing gear that I didn't need. And I mean, it was a truckload. In fact, I'm going to post a picture of it later, but tomorrow, what's happening tomorrow at 9 to noon at Bayside Marine, Joey Pyburn?
The Everett Steelhead and Salmon Club in Bayside Marine. They're having their third annual tight lines and clean boat swap meet. That's 9 a.m. to noon tomorrow. Go down there and there's going to be a whole bunch of fishing and crabbing and boating gear that you hauled out.
Dude,
what?
You and I have our crabbing program pretty tight.
Yeah.
We do it a certain way with the line coilers and everything. So I had all this extra crab line. I dropped that off and crab pots. And I found a bunch of VHF handheld radios that are in good shape. I don't use anymore. Tackle, rods. I threw a Yeti cooler in there and a whole bunch of stuff. But so I would appreciate if you guys took all the stuff that I had in my garage, you could put it in your garage.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but there's a bunch of stuff there that people are going to use. So get over
to
Bayside tomorrow, 9 to noon.
Nelly, for your Chevy truck, okay, that poor truck of yours, you had to tow your boat down to the barge this week, and then our friend Nick Pulley said, well, come in. I got some lead I need to ship to Sitka. I'm going to send some lead with you, too. Okay, I'll come in and get some lead. So they dropped 2,000 pounds of lead in the back of your truck with your boat hooked up, and you made it to the barge with that darn Chevy diesel of yours. That's a great plug for that truck, man.
My airbags were screaming at me. In fact, my airbags had stretch marks by the time I got down.
It was brutal.
But the boat is, it actually arrives in Sitka probably tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So that's
cool,
and then I fly a week from Sunday. So we got another live show from Washington, and then it's going to be coming from up there. So there we go. Our season's in full swing. Good luck to everybody that heads out on that halibut opener. Watch the weather. Watch the weather for that ocean halibut opener. Good luck to everybody that's out there lingcod fishing and trout fishing today. Stay tuned for the John Clayton Show. He's got complete draft coverage, including a breakdown of Dwayne Eskridge, the new receiver the Hawks picked up in their pick. So John Clayton's going to cover all that, followed by a little Mariners baseball. For Matt Nelson, happy birthday back in our Seattle studios. Joey Pyburn, Rob Ensley coming at us from Craig, Alaska. I'm Tom Nelson. This has been the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.